All right. Unfortunately, the pastor is under the weather this evening, so you're stuck with me. Oh, blissful moment, just as we sang. Anyway, seems to be a lot of the croup or whatever it is going around, and Connie and I have had it, and I know others have had it. It's Roger and Terry's turn next. I don't know whether Sparky's got it yet or not, but she's working on it. Anyway, Steve's at home. Hopefully he's going to be watching. That way, next time I see him, he can tell me where I went wrong. Anyway, we're going to be reading tonight in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I don't think we're going to be turning any place else. Mostly we're just going to be making comments. And hopefully the Lord will bless His Word. And you'll get something out of it. Because I got something out of it already. I was kind of wore out from this morning. Johnny got a good report from his cardiologist. Connie got a good report from her cardiologist today. So there's that good. Now if we can just get them over everything else, things would be better. Anyway, before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we once again come before Thy throne, we again will give Thee thanks for all the many blessings that You've given us. We thank You again, Lord, for this day and this time of prayer, this time we can assemble in Your house. We ask, Lord, we might leave the cares of the world outside. There seems to be a lot of things going on right now. And we pray, Father, we might realize that even though we have to live here now, this isn't our home. And we look forward to the time, Lord, when we can be with You and in Your very presence. Lord, will there be no separation, no sin in our lives, and we look forward to that time. We ask, Lord, that You'd continue to watch over our church. Lord, that You'd use us to Your honor and glory. Father, that You might be pleased to add numbers to us. We ask, Lord, that You'd be with our members that can't be here tonight. Whatever the need is, we ask, Lord, that You might grant according to Your will in each case. We pray, Father, that we might continue on, Lord, though we're few in number tonight. We ask, Lord, that Your word might reign in our lives. Lord, we might be easily guided by Your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for our loved ones that don't know You, that Your Holy Spirit might convict them of sin. We might see without Christ they have no hope. We ask now, Father, that You would deal with our country as You see fit. We know, Lord, that we're not worthy of the least of Your blessings. And it seems like all of our leaders want to do is exactly contrary to Your word. Lord, contrary to what our country was founded on, we pray, Father, that those that do know You or claim to know You at least, they might begin to act like it. Lord, those that don't, You might be pleased to save some. We ask again now, Lord, that You go with us throughout the service tonight. Bless Your word and Your children. Forgive us of our sin. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, and may as well begin with verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So there were special gifts given to the apostles. These are the 12 apostles, the gifts that were given to them. Do we have those gifts nowadays? Not so much. I believe there are still some miracles that happen. For instance, any time a person is saved, that's a miracle. I mean, because well, it's all of God. And how He can love us is beyond me. I mean, that's, You hear a lot of people saying they don't believe a loving God would cast people into hell. And my question is, why wouldn't he? I mean, look at our country. Look at our country, the things that we're doing. Well, we'll hear more about Sodom and Gomorrah later in the study here. But we need to understand, yeah, God is a loving God toward His own. He's also a just God. And where there is sin, there's going to be a judgment. Anyway, verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lydius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So these were the 12. Now, what do we notice about the 12 apostles? They looked Jesus up, didn't they? They heard about him somewhere and they looked him up and they said, well, wait, I got it. No. Jesus sought out his own. It's like in my case. I didn't love God. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. But his Holy Spirit came to me and dealt with me. And I knew I was without hope. These here, Christ came to them in every case. We need to understand it's all of God. Anyway, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, why is this? The Jews were God's chosen earthly people. And if you read about going forth, the people that were to go out and to preach the word, it says what? It says to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, at this time, this was to prove that the Jews would still yet turn away, just as they had in times past. From the time that the Lord brought them out of Egypt, every time you turn around, they're either making a calf or they've got other gods that they worship, and they're ignoring the God of heaven, the God that had blessed them so mightily, just as our nation is doing right now. Can you think of any other nation on the face of the earth that has been blessed more than the United States? No. He has given us so much. And what have we given him? Rebellion. And just turn away. Turn away. Don't want to hear nothing about him. The God of heaven. We don't want him. But go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Don't even go to the cities where they live. Now this is for right then, for that point in time, so that the Jews would have the opportunity to receive the word as it was delivered to them by the 12 apostles initially, and after that, multiple others. Now, we don't have any kind of a commandment like that nowadays. What does it say in the Great Commission? We're going to all the world. We are to go into all the world, not just where the Jews are. We're not to forsake the Jews. We're to bring the word to them too. Don't get me wrong. But we're not to leave anybody out. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why. That's why. They're the lost sheep. They're the ones that were given the oracles of God. They were the ones that the law was delivered to. They were the ones that God fed in the desert when there was nothing to eat. They are the ones that had the temple where God came down and communed with them. Go there first. Now, was Jesus going to be surprised when they turned away from him? No, he knew exactly what was going to happen. And I don't know. I've heard a lot of people, we believe and teach election and predestination. And many people say they believe it, and actually what they say, what they think is that God looked down through time and saw who would believe, and he made that sure. They're making him the fortune teller, basically. Look into the crystal ball and see what happens. No, he's the one that makes things happen. Without his love for me, when I was unlovable, I would still be lost and headed to hell. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep. Now, in my own instance, I'm a sheep. If you read through the scripture, the Lord calls his people his sheep in many instances. I have always been a sheep. I have never been a goat that was transformed into a sheep. I have always been a sheep. Before he saved me, I was a lost sheep, but I was still a sheep. I was always his. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nowadays we go to the lost sheep wherever they are. We're supposed to anyway. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, is it ever? I don't know if we are in the last days. I believe we are. I believe we're so close to the time when the Lord's going to come and take his home, that I don't know whether we could count in years or months or weeks or even days, maybe minutes. We might not make it to the end of this day. But go and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now. This is the only time we have. The past is past. You can't change it. The future may not come. Right now is the time. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, we don't have the gifts that the apostles had. You know, we can't necessarily cast out devils. And, you know, if we believe that there's a person that is possessed, we need to pray for them as far as that's concerned. But the miracles are all in God's hand. They're not bequeathed to us. But we have been given so much. Now, what has he given us? First of all, he's given us his Son. Freely. Freely you have received, freely give. tell others about Christ. He's given us His Word. It talks about when that which is perfect is come, talking about the Bible. Freely you have received, freely give. Learn the Word. Study in it. Study daily. Become familiar with the pages what you believe is. Now, we have many things that we believe, but do we know what the Bible says about them? We need to know why we believe what we believe, what God's Word says. Freely you have received, freely give. And as far as physical blessings and stuff like that, we're not to be misers or things like that. If you see a brother or a sister in need and you have the ability, help them out. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So, what's this mean? It says you don't wait until we have so many. Well, we don't have so many, but a lot of so-called missionaries go on what they call deputation. They go out and they try to get money so they can go where the Lord, they say, has sent them. Now, I can understand having to get enough to get where you're going. Don't get me wrong. I believe that's necessary. It's needful. But when it just keeps going on and on and on and on, and sometimes they never make it to the field where they say God called them to. If God calls you to go somewhere, you go. The money part, that'll take care of itself. He says, don't provide gold or silver or brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. In other words, you're going to be traveling. Does that mean we're not supposed to sit at home in the living room and watch the TV and not talk to other people about the Lord? No, I said, you're going to be taking a journey. And don't worry about the money. Neither two coats. Why would you need two coats? Just in case one's dirty and it's in the laundry, you know, you gotta have the other coat. No. God's gonna provide everything you need. Neither shoes. You got a pair of shoes on your feet? I've got two pairs of shoes. And they're almost exactly the same, except these are older and they feel better on my feet. That's why I'm wearing them instead of my new shoes. But if I didn't have another pair of shoes, God still provides. He's given me a pair of shoes. I could be walking around barefoot. Everybody be holding their nose and things like that. But He's going to provide, nor yet stays. Walking sticks. How many walking sticks do you need to walk? One. Staves here is plural. How many do you need? You want six? What are you going to do with the other four? Oh, you only got two hands. For the workman is worthy of his meat. You go out, you do the work, God's going to provide. Now, He's going to provide you with your food. He's going to provide you with everything you need for the journey. You're going to have a coat. You're going to have shoes. You're going to have a stave, a walking stick if you need it. And many of us do. We're getting kind of up there in years, except for Sparky. She's a spring chicken. Yeah. Anyway, the workman is worthy of his meat. You don't question it. When somebody comes to you and offers you a meal or a bed to sleep in, you've gone someplace to visit, to tell people about the Lord, and you don't question it. The Lord has provided. Verse 11, and to whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Now, that don't make sense, does it? Because who's worthy? None of us. We're not worthy of the least of the blessings that the Lord has given us. I think this is talking about who is worthy, who is seeking after God. Now, there ain't hardly anybody that seeks after God unless the Holy Spirit is dealing with them. And I believe that this is what this is talking about. Who is the Holy Spirit dealing with that they're trying to find out about God? Who in it is worthy? And there abide till you go thence. Stay there till you go someplace else. Now, we've had some people come and stay with us, and you talk about a blessing. Of course, Pastor McCool, he was one of the first that came and stayed with us, and he would stay up all night long. You try to get it shut up, but no. He just talk, and you talk about fun. There are fun things to do in the world. I know that. But for a child of God to be able to sit up all night long and talk with a brother or sister about the Lord, now that is fun. You think when the Lord takes us home. You talk about fun. We're going to have some fun. And you're going to abide there until you leave to go someplace else to have some more fun. Verse 12, and when you come into an house, salute it. Show respect. You don't come up to somebody's house and you say, well, they need to paint their awnings and the door's kind of hanging on one hinge and stuff like that. If the Lord's got a roof over your head, you need to be happy. And if it's somebody else's roof over your head, you need to be extra happy. He has provided you for you. It's something that's not even yours. Salute it. Verse 13, and if the house be worthy, if they're seeking after the Lord, let your peace come unto it. Okay, go in there and tell them. Where do we have peace? We have peace in the Lord. You don't have peace in the world. All you got to do is look at the news, and I use that term very loosely. Look in the news for what's going on in our country, supposedly the best country on the face of the earth, and I believe it is, which is a sad thing to say. That means all the rest of them are worse than us. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. You've done your duty. You've done your job. You were supposed to go out and teach. We can't save people. The Bible never tells us to go out and save sinners. A Well, first of all, we couldn't. And I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say if we could, but we can't. So what? It's one of them things that's a dumb thing to say. Just be honest about it, because we can't. All we can do is tell them about the Lord, and it's up to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit opens their eyes and opens their hearts, that they understand that they stand under the judgment of an almighty God, and without Christ they have no hope, then we've accomplished our purpose to that point. After that, what? Okay, we preach to them. They want to know about the Lord. You preach to them Christ. And then after that, you teach them all things. All things. Whatever the Scripture says. And there's going to be questions. And some of them might seem like dumb questions, but there's no such thing as a dumb question, just to be honest about it. If somebody is truly trying to find out the answer. Now, there are people that do have dumb questions because they got their mind made up what the answer is, and they're trying to catch you in something. If you stick with God's Word, they're not going to catch you in something. They're going to get caught. Because God, when God says something, that settles it. There's a thing, I don't know how many preachers I've heard use it. You know, this is people used to say, you know, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not true. If God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So, you tell them what God says, not what you think. And boy, we are so bad about telling God how He should have done something. You know? Think of that. If God had only done it my way, now we look at our political leaders right now, and you wonder why. And I kind of have the suspicion is this is what we deserve. I don't know any other way to put it. And as far as why they got there, it's because the people voted for them. We talk about how lousy the leaders are, but the people voted them in. Many other countries can't say that. The leaders are appointed, or they're kings or rulers or dictators, something like that. In our instance, the people voted for them. This is what they wanted. But let your peace return to you. Go to the next place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, and there's going to be a lot. When you depart out of that house or city, I believe you to make a concerted effort. We are to try to teach them about the Lord. But if they completely deny, they don't want to hear it, and all that, then okay, we're going to depart from that house or city. And it says, shake off the dust of your feet. Now this is from the Lord Jesus. You know, the red letter edition. I used to think that the red letter words were more important. No, it's all God's Word. It's all God's Word. The red letters aren't any more important than the black letters, but there are going to be places where you're going to leave and you're going to shake off the dust of your feet. You have to lose a minute's sleep. Now, in the cases of our own families, friends or acquaintances. Excuse me. That's kind of hard to do. And I don't know. I'm never going to give up on my kid. I'm going to continue to hold them up before the Lord, and they're in His hands anyway. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable with the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain was? They were, well, they were cesspools. They were sorry places. And it says here, it's going to be more tolerable for them than for the cities and the houses that reject the Lord. And that's true. We're going to read a few more verses. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. We can spend a lot of time with this, couldn't we? We're like sheep in the midst of wolves. But we have a protector. We have a shepherd that protects us from the wolves. They can't touch us. And He's going to send us into the midst of them. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Now we know a story about a serpent, don't we? About how Eve ate the fruit and then gave it to her husband, and he did too. Wise serpent. Not so wise, he got kicked out of heaven, didn't he? And harmless as doves. Now, I don't know if it's just me or other people think the same way too, but when you hear a dove call, that is so calming. We are to be harmless as doves. We don't need to threaten. If you want to tell people about God's Word and what it says about the lost, yeah, you do that, but you don't do it like you're using a club. You tell them what the Lord said. This is what is going to happen. And a lot of times when you're talking to somebody that doesn't know a lot about the Bible and everything like that, the first place they want to go to is Revelation. You need to tell them right from the get-go, this is your future. This is what's coming your way. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Beware of men. You can't trust men. You can't trust women either, but you know, I think it's more like you can't trust mankind. You know, there's no person that you can trust. For they will deliver you up to the councils. You think people are going to have your back? But no. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. You talk about what happens in church or in a synagogue as far as this is concerned? We could bring people up here and we beat them with a cat of nine tails and stuff like that. No. We don't even do that. Our pastor has got one of the kindest personalities when it comes to teaching God's Word. I don't think there's a mean bone in his body. Might be. I'll have to ask Sparky later. But you don't use it as a club. They're going to scourge you in their synagogue, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. They're going to bring you to the government. Boy, isn't everything being brought before the government nowadays? Government this, government that. Here, let's spend a few more $1 trillion, see if that'll help. For a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Well, how did the Gentiles get thrown in here? Weren't the apostles told to not go to the Gentiles? That was then, yeah, but there's coming a time when the Jews turn their backs on the Lord, then they were to go to the Gentiles. And what was going to happen? For the most part, Gentiles did the same thing. But you're going to have a testimony against them, the Jews, and the Gentiles. In other words, there's none righteous. No, not one. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. That's the Holy Spirit in action, isn't it? I've known men that claim they're not good speakers. They can't speak before people. And things come up and they have to speak and do pretty good. I'm impressed and I'm kind of hard to impress. I mean, you know. But the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what to say. And many times, I wouldn't have had to make any comments tonight on this portion of Scripture we've been reading. I could have just read God's Word, and it would have been enough. It would have been sufficient. And in many cases, I think maybe my words confuse people more than they open their eyes or let them see what it means better. It shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. He's going to provide you with the word. Don't worry about it. Now, does that mean you're not supposed to study? No. You got a lesson coming up or a Bible study or something like that, and you're going to be presenting God's Word, you better study. Because if not, he might withhold the words. And in that case, maybe all you can do is read His Word. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Except you need to study. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you, the Holy Spirit. You know, Brother McCool always says, you know, capital S, see the capital S there in Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He speaks through us. Pastor gets up here and he preaches when he's not sick. I'm going to have a talk with him about that, but now, he's got a Sunday school teacher who's been getting sick a lot here lately, so I better keep my mouth shut. Anyway, it's the Spirit of God that speaks through us. Not our words. It's His words. And again, if all you can do is read God's Word, it's enough. It's enough. He'll bless His Word. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. we're going to end with this. And brothers shall deliver up the brother to death. We've had that in the past. And the father of the child, well, you've had that in the past. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and boy, we've got that now, don't we? And cause them to be put to death. I wonder how long it's going to be before there's going to be what they call euthanasia. That's where they put the old folk down, you know, or somebody that's sick, and we got a lot of people that's sick down. They say, well, how much money are you going to spend on, you know, to keep them alive? Well, you can't keep them alive if God wants to take them home. They're gone. You can't keep them alive. I can't add 1 second to my life, and I can't shorten it 1 second. It's all in God's hands. But the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. People hate the word of God that much. We say, you know, I never hated God. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. How do you endure to the end? You eat your spinach, you build up muscles, and you hold on? No. You can't hold on to anything. We endure the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us. He seals our salvation. He lives in us. If you had done any good thing, it's because of the Holy Spirit. If you've been kept from doing bad things, it's because of the Holy Spirit. But He will enable us. He will make us to be able to endure. Without Him, we can't do anything. And we certainly can't do anything that's pleasing to God. Anyway, we'll go ahead and end there, and we'll start with reading of the prayer list.